Good morning.
Good morning.
Please take a moment to fill out the pew pads to record your attendance. Birthday celebrations this week include Betty Eckerd, Max Miller, and Margaret Yount. Happy birthday. And happy anniversary to Jenny and Harold Eckerd and Linda and Daniel Reese. Please continue to be in prayer for J. Lee Eckerd. He is still not doing well. Kathy Aulis had a successful surgical procedure this past Thursday. Alan Powell, he had complications from his surgery on Thursday, but he hopes to come home today. Also, please pray for Tammy Falcone for her upcoming surgery on the 21st at Fry Hospital. Also, her room at Trinity Ridge has changed to 714. Please remember to pray for all those who are at home or in nursing facilities and cannot be here with us today. Also, continue to be in prayer for our call committee. A little something extra this month is for the CCM Heating Fund, and next Sunday is the day for collecting canned vegetables for CCM. Please place your items here on the table. Committee liaisons and chairs, please mark your calendar to attend a meeting on February 4th at 6 o'clock to discuss the upcoming Community Fest. Are there any other announcements? All right, we'll continue with our service. Thank you.
Good morning. Welcome to St. Stephen's. If you're a visitor, we're glad that you're here. We hope that you'll return often. Please rise as you're able for the order of confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the eternal voice from heaven, the anointed and beloved one, the Spirit moving over the waters. As we approach the mystery of God, let us come in confession, trusting the love of Christ, crucified and risen. God, who searches us and knows us, you have shown us what is good, but we have looked to other lights to find our way. We have not been just in our dealings with others. We have chosen revenge over mercy. We have promoted ourselves instead of walking humbly with you. With what shall we come before you? Forgive us our sin and show us your salvation. In the face of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Beloved of God, you have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit that is from God. That Spirit is poured out for you in the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. Receive the promise of baptism. You are God's child. Your sins are forgiven. Rejoice and be glad, for yours is the reign of heaven. Amen. the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Holy God, our strength and our Redeemer. By your Spirit, hold us forever, that through your grace we may worship you and faithfully serve you, follow you, and joyfully find you. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. This is the time on Sunday morning that we, if there are children in the congregation, we invite to come up. Not sure we have any today. We have children, but sometimes they come, sometimes they stay in the pew. What I was going to talk about today with the children was how in the Bible Jesus is calling his disciples. You'll hear more about that in the gospel lesson. And while it's not actually in the gospel lesson, I'm going to refer to it, how Philip, when he goes to tell Nathanael that he has found the Messiah, it's just hard for Nathanael to believe it. He can't believe that this person he's known, Jesus, the son of Mary and Joseph, is the Messiah. So Philip said to him, "Come and see." So I had planned to talk to the children about how it's important that we say to people, "Come and see." And I was going to take the children around to various places in the church. I was going to say, "Come and see. Here is the Paschal candle that reminds us that Jesus is the Lamb of God. Here's the Lamb, and here's the cross. So we come and see Jesus. Over here is a symbol of the cross and the dove. The cross reminds us of the death of Jesus and his resurrection. The symbol of death becomes a symbol of life. And I would say to the children, come and see Jesus. We actually have a beautiful, beautiful carving of Jesus up at the very top of our church facility and worship area. So we can say to the children, come and see Jesus. We won't go to all these windows, but these windows are absolutely magnificent. Here is a window, and I can say to the children, come and see Jesus, how the angel comes and talks to the shepherds. Come and see Jesus, how Jesus was a child in a manger, and there's Mary and Joseph and someone worshiping while a little donkey looks on. I could say, come and see Jesus. Here is Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus going to Egypt so the baby Jesus won't be killed. Our church facility, not only the nave where we worship, but throughout the church, we see signs of Jesus. So this week, when you're doing various things, you'll see signs of Jesus. And don't hesitate when you experience Jesus to say to someone else, come and see. In fact, if you wanted to, you could even say to someone this week, why don't you go with me at St. Stephen's Sunday morning? Just come and see.
The first reading is from the 49th chapter of Isaiah. Listen to me, O coastlands. Pay attention, you peoples from far away. The Lord called me before I was born. While I was in my mother's womb, he named me. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me a polished arrow. And in his quiver, he hid me away. And he said to me, you are my servant, Israel, in whom I will be glorified. But I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. Yet surely my cause is with the Lord, and my reward with my God. And now the Lord says, who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him. For I am honored in the sight of the Lord, and my God has become my strength, he says. It is too light a thing that you should be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the survivors of Israel. I will give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to be one deeply despised, abhorred by the nations, the slave of rulers. Kings shall see and stand up, princes, and they shall prostrate themselves because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel who has chosen you. The word of the Lord. We recite Psalm 40 responsively by whole verses. I waited patiently up on the Lord, who stooped to me and heard my cry. The Lord put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many shall see and stand in awe and put their trust in the Lord. Great are the wonders you have done, O Lord my God. In your plans for us, none can be compared with you. Oh, that I could make them known and tell them, but they are more than I can count. And so said, here I am, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. I proclaimed righteousness in the great assembly. I have not restrained my lips, O Lord, you know. You are the Lord. Do not withhold your compassion from me. May your steadfast love and your truth continually keep me safe. The second reading is from 1 Corinthians, first chapter. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother, Sosthenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, together with all those who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that has been given you in Christ Jesus. For in every way you have been enriched in him, in speech and knowledge of every kind, just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end, so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. By him you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here's the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. This is the gospel of the Lord. Well, it's always good to worship together. Sometimes I just need a drink before I can preach. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we praise you this day. We thank you for giving us this holy place to worship. We thank you for giving us the Holy Scriptures where we learn about you. We thank you for coming to us in holy baptism, for coming to us in the sacrament of Holy Communion. We thank you, O Lord, for all the blessings that you give to us. And we ask now that you might speak and that we might hear. Amen. In World War II, Lieutenant Commander Edward Butch O'Hare was the Navy's number one pilot. In fact, he's the first Navy pilot ever to receive the Congressional Medal of Honor. And he actually lost his life in aerial combat. Now, he had grown up in Chicago, so the city of Chicago was not willing to forget Butch O'Hare. So the large airport, sometimes the busiest airport in the world, is named for Commander O'Hare. But the story doesn't really end there. In the roaring 20s in Chicago, the gangster Al Capone pretty much controlled everything that happened in that city. And his favorite attorney, his most outstanding attorney, was Easy Eddie. And Easy Eddie would make sure that Al Capone could get off without serving any time and very seldom being charged for anything. But for some reason, Easy Eddie decided he wanted to go straight and turn his life around. When he did that, He told about Al Capone. Al Capone and his gangsters realized what Easy Eddie had done, and they killed him. The reason Easy Eddie did what he did was he said later, before he was killed, that his son, he wanted him to in some way have an opportunity for a fresh start. He wanted him to turn his life around, so he too wanted to change his life. So the next time, or when you maybe see pictures of O'Hare International Airport in Chicago, there's a beautiful area in the airport dedicated to Butch O'Hare. There are all kinds of pictures of Butch O'Hare, and there's a plane that is he perhaps had flown, or at least liked the planes that he flew in World War II. O'Hare International Airport. Eddie O'Hare, his son Butch O'Hare, gave their lives so that other people's lives might be changed. One, the father gave his life so that his son's life might be changed. Butch O'Hare gave his life that American's life might be changed. The lessons for today have to do with how lives are changed and how we can anticipate God speaking to us in a changing way. The first lesson is from Isaiah. It's a time in the life of God's children when they're in captivity in Babylon. They have no hope. They were taken there in chains. Their temple has been destroyed. And Isaiah feels called by God to speak to them, but he realizes he's been called from the time he was in his mother's womb, but he doesn't think that people are actually listening to him. He's very frustrated. So God says to Isaiah, I am with you, and I want you to continue to tell my people that they should have hope. They'll be able to return to their homeland. They'll be able to rebuild their temple, and I'm going to be with them. I'm going to restore Israel, but it goes beyond that. God says in that Old Testament lesson, I'm going to restore salvation to all people, and even to the ends of the earth. So when Isaiah is talking to people in that day, he's also talking to us that salvation is ours and our lives can be changed. The New Testament lesson, or the gospel, is from John. We don't have a whole lot of gospel lessons in the course of a year from St. John. One year, we read from the gospel of Matthew. That's this year. Next year, when we read the gospel, it'll be from Mark. Then the next year, Luke, and then we start over again. And then periodically, we have lessons from John. Today is such a day. John, in the first chapter, begins, as John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The first book of the Bible, Genesis, begins in the beginning. God created the heavens and the earth. John and Genesis both begin the same way. There's a wonderful parallel there, I think. The world was spoken into existence by God. Salvation was spoken into existence by God through Jesus. God takes human form in history, according to John. And when Jesus speaks, things happen. Here's what happens when Jesus speaks. Forgiveness, judgment, healing, mercy, grace, joy, freedom, resurrection. Jesus speaks the Word of God, and Jesus is the Word of God. John, the beloved disciple, writes the book of John. We stand up for the gospel reading. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We stand up because these are disciples who wrote about Jesus. They actually lived with Jesus, and we want to honor the fact that they actually walked the earth with our Lord. It's interesting. The Gospel of John is very different than the other three. It's called a spiritual gospel. It was Martin Luther's favorite gospel. And in John, he talks more about who Jesus is than what Jesus did. For example, in John, only in John, do we see the miracle of water turning to wine. Only in John is the raising of Lazarus. Only in John do we see Jesus washing the feet of the disciples. John never mentions the birth of Jesus. He doesn't mention the baptism of Jesus. He doesn't mention how Jesus was in the wilderness. There are no parables in John. There is no exorcism. It's just a different gospel. The birth of Jesus is, if you want to say it's the birth of Jesus, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, the Word was with God. In the book of Revelation, there are various symbols that has been chosen to represent the Gospels. For example, Matthew is represented as a divine man. Mark is represented as a winged lion. Luke is represented as a winged ox. And John as a rising eagle. It has to do with what those particular books emphasize. Matthew emphasizes the humanity of Jesus, therefore a man. Mark emphasizes the power of Jesus, therefore a lion. Luke emphasizes the sacrificial nature of Jesus, therefore an ox, which was oftentimes sacrificed. John is an eagle because Jesus actually soars in the book of John. After John was written, that's when we begin to think about the Trinity. Because until John wrote his gospel, I'm not sure the church actually saw Jesus as completely divine. But it's clear in John, Jesus is God. He was from the beginning. John is also the gospel where we hear from Jesus as he says, "I am." Only in John. "I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the vine. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life." It's who Jesus is more than what Jesus does. Now, in the first chapter of John, John, the disciple, is talking about a different John, John the Baptist. So John says in that first chapter of John, "I came to show you the light. I'm not the light, but I'm to point to the light." And then in this first chapter, we see John the Baptist pointing to Jesus. John was in Bethany, 3 or 4 miles away from Jerusalem, and he's doing some baptizing, and some of the Jews from Jerusalem walk over to Bethany, and they have some questions for John the Baptist. They said, "Who are you?" And John said, "Well, I'm not the Messiah. I'm not Elijah. I'm not one of the Old Testament prophets. I'm just here to point you to the one who the Old Testament prophesied would come." And the Jews were troubled a bit. They said, "Well, who are you? Tell us a little bit about yourself." And he said, "Well, I came to baptize with water, but there's one that's going to come that will baptize with the Holy Spirit." Then in this first chapter of John, we go to the next day. John looked down the road and he saw Jesus coming. And he said, as he screamed to the top of his voice, "There's the Passover lamb." He was referring to something that everyone would have known about, the Passover. It was an event that they all celebrated. The Passover was when the Israelites had left Egypt, and the Passover lamb had allowed them to do so. God said to Moses and the children of Israel in Egypt, "If you'll kill a lamb and you'll place the blood of that lamb over the doorpost, then the death angel will pass over your homes." So they celebrated every year the Passover, the killing of the lambs so that they might live. So when John says that's the Passover lamb, he was talking about how Jesus will die so that we might live. And he said, I tell you something to the Jews, you're not going to believe this. He said, it's hard to believe, but I'm telling you the truth. I was at the Jordan River. This man, Jesus, came by, and he told me to baptize him. I didn't want to, but I baptized him. And as I baptized him, this dove came down, and God said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. I'm telling you, this is the Son of God. Then it was the next day. John is talking to two disciples. One of them is Andrew, the brother of Peter. And he sees Jesus coming down the road, and he says to them, again, there's the Passover lamb. And then Jesus says to those two disciples as they begin to follow him, what do you need or what do you want? And they said, where are you staying? I think that's not a very good translation. I think a better way to say that would be, how can we be with you? How can we have a better relationship with you? But they spent the rest of the day with Jesus. And then Andrew realized that this was the Messiah. He went to talk to his brother Peter. And Andrew said to Peter, we found the Messiah. Peter comes to see Jesus. And Jesus says to Peter, your name has been Cephas, but I'm going to name you Peter, which is the rock. Then this goes a little bit beyond the gospel reading for today. But the next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee, which is several days' journey, going north up toward the Sea of Galilee. He ran into Philip, and he said to Philip, come and follow me. Philip realized it was the Son of God, and he said to his friend Nathanael, I have found the Messiah. And he said, you're not, and Philip said to Nathanael, it's hard to believe. But this is Jesus. He's this fellow we grew up with. You know his parents, Mary and Joseph, over in Nazareth. And Nathanael said, that can't be. I've never seen anything good come out of Nazareth. Nazareth was a dirty little town outside of Jerusalem. And then Philip said to Nathanael, well, just come and see. So Nathanael went to see Jesus, as Philip suggested. And when Jesus saw him, he said, you're Nathanael, you're a good man, and you're an Israelite. And Nathanael said, you don't know me. How do you know I'm an Israelite? And how do you know I'm a good man? And Jesus said to him, I saw you over under the fig tree. And Nathanael realized he had been alone under the fig tree. No one was there. So only God could know his heart and know what he had thought and said under the fig tree. So he then said, you are the Son of God. We have all these different people being approached by Jesus. John's explaining to various people who Jesus is. The people who have been disciples of John are now moving over to become disciples of Jesus. And lives are being changed. Easy Eddie gave his life so that his son's life might be changed. Lieutenant Commander Butch O'Hare gave his life so that we might continue a prosperous life in the United States of America. On a far greater level, Jesus gave his life so that we might have salvation, so that our sins might be forgiven. Luther understood he couldn't do anything to get away from sin. He realized, though, it wasn't what he had done or hadn't done, but it was what God had done in Jesus. Jesus gave his life so that we might have salvation. And these various people, as they're talking about Jesus, say, come and see. I don't think that we should be too concerned about whether or not we fill the church pews. I don't think we should be too concerned about whether or not we receive new members. we should be very concerned that somehow people, maybe here, can experience the joy of Jesus.
Amen.
That's the bottom line. How can we introduce people to Jesus so that they might know of His love for us so that we might love Him? That's all we have to do is say to someone, and I'd invite you this week to look around. I can't believe that you don't know someone that doesn't know the joy of Jesus. Now, we might say they're a Christian, but that really know the joy of Jesus in terms of being involved in the life of a church. I don't think you can think, no one would not know someone who is a relative, a friend, a co-worker, someone that you're not sure knows the joy of Jesus. So why don't you say to them, come and see. That's all you have to do. And I promise you, Jesus will do the rest. Amen.
Thank you. water in the Word. We boldly pray for the church, the world, and all who long to hear God's voice. Faithful God, thank you for the testimony of disciples throughout the generations and for opportunities to proclaim your mercy. Reveal your truth and glory to all who ponder your word of life. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Creating God, we marvel at the abundance of the world you have made. Give us confidence in our calling to be stewards of the earth so that our lives are in fellowship with all creation. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, we are thankful for all who have marched for justice and advocated for peace. Entrust our elected leaders with strength, wisdom, and a discerning spirit, so that both our words and our actions serve you. Lord, in your mercy. God of hope, thank you for your constant presence as you walk with your children through challenges of joblessness, homelessness, grief, and sickness. Gather your community around all who need your healing power that they may find strength in you. Especially, Lord, we pray today for Ray Powell and Debbie Binge. Lord, in your mercy. God of persistence, we glory in the gifts of your church leaders. Bless and strengthen our council members, staff, pastors, worship leaders, and all those who offer their gifts to this community, that our work together would serve your mission, Lord, in your mercy. Living God, we give thanks for the whole communion of saints, each called in their own time to serve you, especially Henry Bishop of Uppsala. Inspire our lives with your testimony, Lord, in your mercy. We place our prayers before you, God, united in your spirit through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Them on your table together with our lives and all that you have made. Open the heavens to us and pour out your spirit. We wait for your mercy. We long for your peace. We hunger and thirst for Jesus Christ, our banquet of life. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. By the leading of a star, he was shown forth to all nations, in the waters of the Jordan, you proclaimed him your beloved son. And in the miracle of water turned to wine, he revealed your glory. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Beginning and the end, the giver of life. Blessed are you for the birth of creation. Blessed are you in the darkness and in the light. Blessed are you for your promise to your people. Blessed are you in the prophet's hopes and dreams. Blessed are you for Mary's openness to your will. Blessed are you for your son Jesus, the Word made flesh. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." We proclaim the mysteries of faith. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. With this bread and cup, we remember your word dwelling among us, full of grace and truth. We remember our new birth in the death and resurrection. We look with hope for his coming. Holy God, we long for your Spirit. Come among us. Bless this meal. May your word take flesh in us. Awaken your people. Fill us with your light. Bring the gift of peace on earth. And come, Holy Spirit. All praise and glory are yours, Holy One of Israel, Word of God incarnate, power of the Most High, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial. Deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Mercy on us, mercy on us.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you and keep you in His grace.
Gift of salvation. Now send your servants forth in peace, that we may testify to your goodness and share the hope that ours is in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
May God bless and keep you. May God's face shine and be gracious to you. May God look on you with favor and give you peace.
Kindness has sought a light in the world.
Christ our Lord came to this planet to suffer and die and rise again, he invites us to tell people, come and see. So therefore, go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.